I believe life is too short and you need to experience those things. You know, every employer, try to empower your people because when they feel happy, when you give them the chance to work from wherever they want, they feel productive, they feel happy.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast as we talk about the future of work. And we have a great guest today. Orly Crow will be with us today. She's in Dubai. We're going to talk about asynchronous work. And by the way, how many times I had to plan to try to say that word correctly. We're going to talk about how people work fractionally. It's going to be a very interesting conversation and even more unique today. I will be here without my co-host, Andrew Jernigan, who many of us in the remote work community can understand the issue of finding yourself in a place where the Wi-Fi isn't working. One of the most disastrous outcomes anyone can have. So Orly will help me today as a co-host and a guest. This is something a little bit different for us. I know the world is her office and my office. Unfortunately, Andrew's office is not Wi-Fi enabled, so it's less than typical, less than optimal. Orly, thank you for joining us today. Welcome from Dubai. You're somebody who's, it's really interesting when we've gotten to know you is, you know, here's somebody who does Les Mills Fitness, somebody who does festive road, building events, and of course, through the pandemic. You've got a lot of things on your hands. Talk a little bit about your background and what got you to the remote work style that you're at today, and certainly this fractional type of existence that you lead. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for having me, Alan. And thank you for the upgrade, by the way. I'm happy to be your co-host for today.
Excellent.
Nice. I'll put it on my LinkedIn, you know, that I just got a promotion. So, wow, where to start? I think what you have just described about me is what I qualify the typical syndrome of the slash generation. We're known, like us millennials, to do, you know, thing A slash thing B slash thing C slash thing D. It's as if we have multiple concurrent careers in one single career. I am somebody who has always been driven by passion. I followed what I love, and I strongly believe I can only be good at something I really enjoy and genuinely care about. So in a few words, this is, I would say, my motto. And you will see this on my LinkedIn. My life motto is fun is not the enemy of work. And I really do believe this, even with my client work, even if it's very serious work, I always find a way, you know, to make it engaging, to make it fun. And you've mentioned that. So it's now, let's see, we are 2021. It's my seventh year as a remote worker slash digital nomad. But before that, I had more of a corporate life, I would say. I started in travel for a very simple reason. I was passionate about travel. I loved foreign languages and I loved technology. And I decided to combine everything and to start a career in travel technology. I was very curious to, you know, find out the plumbery behind a website, when you book something online, when you go on an app. And I started for about 4 to 5 years, and I'm very grateful for that experience and for the work I've learned. But there is a but. Back then, it was in France. So I also think, to be fair and with all due respect, France has some sort still of a cultural blocker when it comes to remote work, when it comes to letting people, you know, like work from wherever they feel most productive. It's not there yet compared to what I see in different countries. And I started to feel it. I wanted to travel for work because I thought that travel was a perk for me and was an opportunity to see the world. I always wanted to combine both. And back then, when I say back then, it was 2014, 2015. It was there. Digital nomad is not new, but we didn't necessarily have a word, you know, to name it really. And even now, digital nomad doesn't sound quite completely right. I think we need to come up with something better than just that word, because the connotation, I mean, it means so much more. You know, it's really remote. I know John Lee that we know, that we have a common, we have him as a friend. He also calls this remote work abroad, from abroad, for example, which could also work. And, you know, I wasn't 100% happy in my corporate life because I'm somebody, like I said, I thrive when I have the freedom to do what I love, when I have like the opportunity to learn, when I'm in discovery mode, when I'm challenged. And I'm not somebody who can do the same job for 3 to 4 years or 5 years.
Yep.
And I started a blog back then. I was a student back then. It was 2010, 2011. It was in French. And it was about how technology was about to revolutionize the travel industry. And one thing led to another. The community came. I started to have my first gigs as a speaker, as a consultant. And this is how everything began. I met Paul Tillstone, who's now the managing partner along with Caroline Strachan at Festive Road. They were just launching and they said, look, I believe we have a model that's made for you because we created Festive Road to give back flexibility and options to people. You work from wherever you want. We don't have any office. You pick up the client work that you want, that you love, because, you know, my motto is fun is not the enemy of work. Caroline's motto is do what you love, love what you do.
That's it. Yeah.
So this combined, it like, you know, it was a fireworks.
Yeah.
And this is how I started my journey. We're specialized in business travel. We are about 20 now. Each of us has a different skill set. My line of business was innovation, marketing, and events. So obviously, I had my best life pre-COVID. I traveled 2, 3, 4 times per month in Europe. I always, always, always extended my trips to enjoy the destination. And what I could do every winter, I'm following the sun. I hate the winter. So every winter since 5 years, I was away for 2 or 3 months, somewhere hot, somewhere warm. Asia, South Africa, South America, Central America. And I could just, you know, to your point about async work.
Yeah.
See, I found a workaround to get it right. I say async.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah,
I agree.
See?
I agree.
And I could just work remotely during for the 2 or 3 months. And it wasn't a problem. And this is how I started to advocate for that lifestyle, try to make people aware, especially working in travel. We empower people. It's business travel, but still a lot of people are like me. They welcome the opportunity to travel for work, to see the world. So why couldn't you create more opportunities, better opportunities, let your people work from abroad for longer periods? And this is how, yes, my digital nomad journey started.
Well, it's also interesting. Now you see people who even travel on leisure travel, but they bring their computer with them. So there's really a hard line. There's not a hard line anymore between business travel and leisure travel. Cause you know, the people that
absolutely
listen to this podcast to live that location independent lifestyle, they go on these amazing trips, yet they'll still do some work on the side. And it was interesting when you were talking about Festive Road, you know, and you're doing events and things. So you had this great thing going before COVID.
Yeah.
Why don't you share how you've kind of changed a bit, you know, since COVID, because to set up events, obviously there's events that you need to do, you know, through the internet now, or there's events,
yes,
that we have to do distance. I mean, how did it change there too?
Well, I'll be brutally honest with you, Alan.
Yeah.
I took a big hit with COVID, like many of us, of course. And we talked about that offline. It's quite funny because while I was advocating for that lifestyle, it's like I was so happy to see that people got to start to experience this. And while my wings got sort of cut, whilst for a lot of people, they could finally spread their own wings. So I was in that weird space, like feeling like so happy about the conversation that were going on in the industry. Companies, organizations making announcements. Every week there was another announcement. Yes, we're flexibility. We're letting our employees working, you know, or choosing, get to choose. You can work remotely forever now if you want. So I was a little bit in a weird space. And this is actually what got me to Dubai. I was pivoted. So, you know, and bless them. My clients, their core activity has been hit a lot as well. So obviously it's totally understandable that, you know, when it comes to organizing events or projects related to innovation or big marketing campaigns, well, it's not the priority when you have a crisis to deal with, right?
Yes, exactly.
So I had to pivot. So we pivoted, a small portion of my business pivoted online. And, you know, I like to say one thing, talking about remote work, what we have been experiencing the past 18 months doesn't really really do justice to what remote work actually is, what remote or what work from anywhere is, because we got stuck between four walls. There was no opportunity to just experience things, go out there, vary your workspace for the day, you know, go meet people in a co-work space, just go on a social media, a digital nomad group, try to meet like-minded people, go to a cafe, go grab those vibes, you know. This was not here.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I understand the change was brutal for a lot of organizations that were not ready for remote work because, you know, even the IT infrastructure, nothing was in the cloud. So there was one thing I love that. I cannot remember who said that, so I cannot quote, but it's not from me. So just to do justice to whoever said it, there was a very famous meme that we saw on social. It said, where should we move our company? And the answer, to the cloud.
Yeah.
And this is one that I loved because it's so true. And Dubai was a very unexpected. And we'll get there at the end of the podcast because my country is Colombia. I absolutely love Colombia. And this was my plan. I wanted to spend more time there. And then COVID hits. And one of my friends told me that I met in a conference told me, look, Dubai is open. There are flights from Paris to Dubai, please book a flight. We just moved with my wife. We moved in a new apartment. Sure. We have a spare room. Just spend 2 weeks with us. Take a breath and you'll feel better. You'll figure things out.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it. I arrived. I was happy. I knew Dubai already. 4 days after I arrived, our president in France announced the second lockdown. And I was like, no. Yeah. So I decided to extend and then I extended and I extended and I extended. And this is where my fitness instructor hat came in. I have always loved exercise. It's essential for my mental health, even when I travel, and we'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm a Les Mills freak, really. I love it. I love the courses. And I have experienced a program here that did not exist in France. It's immersive fitness. So it's cycling. Imagine you're in a studio, all lights off. You have a giant screen, like cinema scale screen.
Sure. Yeah.
And you're riding through virtually created worlds. I'm a geek, you know, so obviously I loved it. I was very engaged. And a couple of instructors told me, look, why don't you become an instructor? And I was like, no. And this is how I started to realize that Dubai might have a lot of opportunities for me. I stayed and I saw different faces of Dubai that I had no idea existed. The free zone they have created. So now you don't need to be a local or you don't need to have a local owning 51% of your business anymore. I have a business in Dubai. Awesome. I even get a discount because I'm a woman. They have incubators in the city. They are looking for there's massive investment in tech. It's a brilliant area for people who are looking for, you know, developing patterns or any test markets because it's a very, very digital first market. You don't pay cash here. Every single thing that I pay, I even do it with my watch.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, hey, there might be something for me here.
It's an amazing place. And by the way, for somebody who loves the sun, there's no shortage of sun either on things. And to circle back a little bit on the exercise. So during the COVID period, so many of our remote worker, you know, location independent people went to places like Mexico and Costa Rica and whatever, so they could surf, hike, and walk. And I love what you talked about, like having to do the bike ride, but you're doing it inside. But so many of these people, physical fitness is such an important part. But they lost a lot of the aspects of group exercise where you're all together. Because I know people like to go to fitness centers because there's an energy there. Even if you're not talking to other people, there's an energy there. How did you guys get around that? Was it because of the, you know, when you're biking in that virtual world, it's just really cool? Are there other people with you? Because I noticed a lot of people were able to tie the technology together that while we're alone, we're actually with a group online. Yes. So we're together in a way too. And I think that helps.
It makes you accountable, first of all. You're fueled by the energy around you because you see the other ones trying hard.
Yeah.
So you're like, hey, you know what? This inspires me. And, you know, our first mission as Les Mills instructors is to get people to fall in love with fitness. And we're here to, you work hard without even realizing how hard you're working because you have the screen effects.
Yeah.
You have mountains. Yes, it's digital environments, but you really get hooked. And again, Dubai was an amazing place for that because there are still restrictions that are more strict here than currently in Europe. And I assume this is also why things have stayed open for longer. Dubai only had a 3-week lockdown. That's it.
Gotcha.
And then they opened slowly when things went a little bad, more restrictions, and then they eased, but they were always a little bit more mindful and more cautious. So gyms opened, and you know, one interesting fact, I was talking to the Les Mills office here in the Middle East. They were telling me that the digital, like everything related to digital fitness, because they have an app as well. I'm bringing this app everywhere where I travel. You don't need equipment for some workouts. So it's perfect wherever you are in the world. You bring your app with you. You have amazing classes. In the Middle East, people want to go to the gym. I would say the adoption of the online, pure online fitness is a little bit slower than in other markets in the Middle East. So it's been quite interesting.
Well, I think there's a big difference. And we touched upon it also that the millennial generation that's really used to online environments, digital, versus me, more of the baby boomer side of things. It's a couple things. First off, I think the millennial generation is a lot more used to fractional jobs, doing multiple jobs at once, where the generation that I tend to be in is, God, we worked for one company, we came into the office, et cetera. And what I think is really interesting is right now, for the first time, all the generations who have to work remotely are coming together because we all have to be doing Zoom calls, team calls. It's, you know, if you don't get with the technology, you're going to be left behind. And I think it's so funny with physical fitness. I mean, I have down in my basement a rower where I can hit a button and it can give me different hills. But, you know, it's the first generation where you actually don't see anything interesting. You just see that you're going to go.
I see.
And what I think is great is it sounds like the next step was it actually makes it really interesting. If you're like biking through a beautiful mountain pass, you don't think about that hill the same way than when I'm just looking at a screen and all I see is this like just higher. You make it fun, right?
And it's also the music, that's the great part with cycling specifically, because the music keeps you in the workout because you're riding to the beat.
Yes.
So the music gives you the intensity and gives you like the feel in the muscle at the same time.
Yeah.
But if you want to experience it, there's the trip classes on the Les Mills On Demand as well, the Les Mills Plus app. You just sync it if you have a bike on your TV, so you kind of have a larger screen. And there you go. You can try it out.
Well, it's amazing. Some of the things during the pandemic, when we couldn't go anywhere here, we did yoga with Adrian, who's a free yoga program. And I was amazed how much progress you can make with the online, although as you know, we are all excited about getting out. And this is what's actually interesting about you also, with people starting to maybe start to travel to meetings and programs. As a matter of fact, next week, I'm going to my first in-person conference in New York. Are you starting to see more people starting to say, I think we got a pent-up demand here. We can't wait for 2022 where people can all get together and see each other again. What's your feeling on that?
Every single day, I hear that. I'm myself traveling as well for the first time in 2 years to Miami this time. So let's see how it's going to feel. A lot of people are craving in person, obviously. But I also think, you know, coming from a business travel background, I think the rationale now to decide to travel, the ROI of a trip, the sustainability aspect,
yes,
the duty of care aspect,
yep,
there's a lot to consider now before making that decision to travel. So, and this is what travel managers right now and corporate buyers are up to, you know, like what's the reason for travel? What's the purpose of my trip? Is it worth it? Can it be done on Zoom? So we actually have an exercise at Festive Row that we encourage them to do while they are thinking this strategy through. It's called Zoom versus in the room. If you think about, we have like 20-ish different type of, you know, reasons for travel. And the idea is to get to that thinking. What's the added value if you do this in person, or can it be done through Zoom? So I think what I start to hear a lot though is the internal meetings, getting teams, bring teams back together for a start to like, you know, get the company culture alive, maintain that social bond within your team. And I think this is going to explode in a more dispersed workforce. It's inevitable. So travel might look a bit different. Nobody has a crystal ball, but to your point about the border and the business travel, leisure travel, personal life, professional life, everything's blurred now.
Yes.
It's already been blurred pre-pandemic, but more than ever now. So, you know, taking into consideration sustainability that I have just mentioned, maybe you won't go on a long haul flight 3 or 4 times a year. Maybe it's going to be one, and maybe you're going to combine different trips that you used to do, and maybe you're going to travel for a longer period. And then then you're going to experience your destination. You're going to go on a remote work trip.
Yes.
And maybe it's also sustainable at large because you also make a better impact locally. Communities, you know, that you visit and not just only go to a hotel, that does create job. I'm also trying to be way more mindful when I travel to go to local businesses. If I go for a hike or whatever, I try to hire a local guide.
Yes.
You know, I always try to support local businesses as well and locals.
I love that. As a matter of fact, on an earlier podcast, I talked about that I would let my hair grow out and I would get a haircut at countries that I was traveling to. So I've had haircuts in Kosovo and Ukraine and Jordan and all over the place. The only problem is the hair isn't quite growing as quick as it used to as it gets more and a little less on top. But you and I also talked earlier about we both love to go to different coffee shops and have a cup of coffee, but we enjoy, I'd love you to share your story about how your name, we both have names that get misspelled, huh? And mispronounced.
Story of my life. So I have name problems. People get so confused because my name sounds so French. So nobody really can figure out how to pronounce it. And, you know, I take no offense. I actually find it fun and I made it a game. So now every time I visit a foreign country, I go to a Starbucks. And, you know, because the fun part is even though you spell your name and you really try to make their job easy, they don't necessarily pay attention. So I have like dozens of versions of my Starbucks name and I post them on a regular basis on Instagram. So everybody's always laughing. And the best I had though was, you know, in Paris, we have two airports, right? There's Charles de Gaulle and there's Orly, like O-R-L-Y. This was the best I had.
you had it as the airport. I, as an Allen, tend to get Ellen a lot.
Okay.
You know, and if the spellings are, so you and I had a lot to share that the good news that is that we take it with a grain of salt and it's a lot of fun and I love it. So you've traveled about, this is the time of the podcast we ask our guests to name maybe an overlooked person, place, or experience they would love our audience to think about in this new world. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I revealed the secret a couple of minutes ago by mentioning Colombia. Colombia was my crush. There's something absolutely special going on in that country because of its history. They have a pretty heavy background and one city in particular is Medellin. It's fascinating. You know, like the city has been undergoing a massive transformation. So you have on the one hand the traditional like salsa music, the vibes, the people are just so welcoming, absolutely wonderful. And then the modern aspect, like it's nicknamed the Silicon Valley of South America. There's a lot going on. So obviously I'm a tech geek, so I keep a close eye on what's going on there. But really that country really made me feel special because of its people.
I love it. Well, you know, it's funny. You mentioned that I've been to Bogota and Cartagena just before the pandemic. The food is marvelous. By the way, great biking cities. I really enjoyed biking Bogota. Some great hikes. I didn't get to Medellin. Cartagena was a real treasure. I'll be honest with you. You've picked a wonderful spot there. And the people are just marvelous, aren't they?
They are. It's marvelous. And well, since you're in that continent, a second one I would highly recommend is Guatemala. It's absolutely fantastic. So the best spots is either Antigua, which is absolutely fantastic, or all the little villages around the lake, because it's the true Mayan culture that you experience there. So it's not folklore. It's actually true Mayan culture. And there's, you know, two experiences I will always remember. And this is the beauty of being able to work remotely and adjust your timeline, work in async mode, just, you know, because you do not need to sit on a Zoom call necessarily all the time. If you have the right tools, if you have the right organization, if you have the right method of communication with your clients, with your colleagues, there's no blocker. And I could do that. So I went to a hike. It was called El Volcano El Fuego. It's absolutely fantastic. It was tough. It was a two-day hike.
Yeah.
And the volcano explodes 4 times per hour.
Oh,
and
wow.
You can actually see the ashes. And when it's nighttime, you can see the fire.
Oh,
it's
wow.
I will remember that all of my life. And the second experience is a little bit up north. It's Tikal. It's wonderful. So if you get a chance, go there for sunrise. You're going to hike for an entire hour in the jungle, in the dark.
Yep.
And You go up on a pyramid and you sit down and in silence, and you're just witnessing nature waking up. That's so amazing. You hear the howler monkeys. You can start to hear the birds. You see the sun rising and just the shape of the pyramids, you know, that starts to rise. It's, I have goosebumps just, you know, telling you about that story. But see, that's to our mission, to the why we're here. I believe life is too short and you need to experience those things. You know, every employer, try to empower your people, because when they feel happy, when you give them the chance to work from wherever they want, they feel productive, they feel happy. There's only good that's going to come out of this.
Totally agree. And you know, about great thing about sharing stories like this is your conversation about that sunrise reminded me when I was in Siem Reap and we're sitting there, you know, and you watch the sunrise in Cambodia and you're there and you're just like, wow, this is, you can't replicate this. So fantastic conversation today. How can people stay in touch with you? How can they follow you, etc.? Could you share with our audience?
Oh, absolutely. LinkedIn for more professional related things. You can find me on Instagram. So you're going to see the crazy cycling stuff as well on Instagram that I share a lot. I'm on Twitter. I have a website. You can also see my vlogs. I started to share videos. It's called hashtag Mission Nomad. So I actually share my experience working while traveling. I show the behind the scenes. And what I've just explained about the sunrise and the hike, it's in one of the vlogs. So just to tease a little bit.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So as we wind down, you know, what did I learn today? I mean, first off, I really love the idea that people can do more than one thing that interests them, they're passionate about, that they love. And we can see that that's an area that is extremely important to this generation. And I think more and more people are beginning to think, I'd rather do a lot of interesting things than one thing that I'm not so interested in, right?
It's the gig economy, really, you know, at its best. And also having multiple streams of revenues. I had many chats with friends that said, you know what? COVID made me realize this. It's a bit sometimes unstable because if you just have one sector and if something happens, then a lot collapses. And this is also what I realized myself.
No, I'm totally with you. And that's a great thing. And also with, you know, the time shifting of work, I've had people say, hey, it's a beautiful day today. I can do this on a rainy day. So today's the day I'm going to go surfing and tomorrow's the day I'm going to do all the paperwork.
This is how I took my PADI certification in Thailand. I was diving in the morning and then 2 or 3 p.m. local time, you open up your laptop because it's 9 a.m. in France. Perfect.
That's perfect. That's So those of us out there listening to The New Nomad, this is why you travel. And we'd like to thank you all for listening to The New Nomad podcast today. As you know, it helps others in our community if you suggest that they find our podcast. We really want you to keep sharing your adventures, staying well. So thanks again to our guest, and we'd love to hear from you down the road. Everybody, please travel well. And once again, thanks again for joining The New Nomad podcast, where we support the location-independent lifestyle. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.